Dear friends in Christ, to our Hebrew students, I say shalom, which is about the extent of my Hebrew knowledge, and a special kairain to those of you who are taking Greek. Now, for some of you, Greek will prove to be a summer breeze. Others of you will find yourself running against the wind, and others, God forbid, will be blown away. If you're neither robotic nor delusional, you probably feel a little nervous. And that's how it should be. For today, you Greek students are not simply starting a new class or beginning a new career, but many of you are embarking on a new life. You've taken a big step, a real leap of faith. Many of you had pretty good jobs and made a decent living before coming here. Others could make more money going to law school, or for that matter, taking up a trade. But like Matthew, you've come to realize there's something more to life than money. Like Matthew, you seek heavenly rewards for yourselves and for others. You've heard and answered a higher and more noble calling. Well, we might wonder, what did the Lord see in you that he has called you to this place? If that's too hard of a question, we might ask, what did Jesus see in Matthew? Well, as one of my students put it, Matthew was literate. Jesus had as his goal to make or remake human history. And in the person of Matthew, he found someone who could record it. In Matthew, he found an organized and disciplined mind. Someone who, after finishing his 3 years of seminary, could record his words and interpret his deeds for the sake of the church. Are you academically prepared for our Lord's Seminary here at Fort Wayne? As a member of the admissions committee, I looked at your transcripts, and I voted yes on each one of you. Of course, I've been wrong before. But God willing, after 10 weeks of hard labor, under the guidance of Sergeant Geishan, you will be able to read the gospel that Matthew wrote. And after a few years of seminary, you'll be able not only to read Matthew's gospel, but to preach it and teach it for the edification of the church and the salvation of the world. So it is. To be a pastor, you can't be too dumb, and you've got to know some stuff. But there are other qualifications as well. And you might ask yourself, am I spiritually prepared for the ministry? Well, that's not so easy to answer. Others have seen potential in you, but you've probably had your doubts. On the one hand, Paul lays down some basic requirements. Bishops, for instance, have to be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, and have family matters well in hand. But for now, let's concentrate on the very first qualification that our Lord presents to us in the calling of Matthew. So it was that Matthew's calling caused a great disturbance among the scribes of the Pharisees. Like Matthew, the scribes were well-educated. By profession, they were excellent writers, and they were, for the most part, sober-minded, self-controlled, and respectable. All the things you'd want in a minister. They were righteous in the eyes of the world and righteous in their own eyes as well. And that was the problem. They cared too much about how they looked in the eyes of others. They cared too much for their reputation as good people. And because of that, they couldn't be honest about how they appeared before God. the first qualification for a Christian, and also for a would-be pastor, is to recognize his frailty, his own sinful and rebellious nature. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. For the Lord has come not to call the righteous, but sinners. And so to the holy ministry, our Lord has called such sinners as Peter the denier, Paul the persecutor, and Matthew the tax collector. And so he is calling you, forgiven sinners, to proclaim the message of forgiveness. Amen.